attendance are Representatives Gatto, Olson, Ramirez, Seaton, Elkins. Today, we are going to take up heavy oil, and we're going to move that bill right now.
Mr. Chairman.
What a guy.
I just wanted to get everybody's attention, and you haven't.
No, first up today is House Bill 497, the transfer Clark Bay Terminal by Representative Elkins. Jennifer Baxter is going to present, is that right?
Jennifer Baxter is going to present it?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move CS for 497, /Y for discussion.
So moved. Yes, ma'am. Do an excellent job.
We hope we did the right one.
We have adopted, we have the Y version in front of us, is that right? Is that what we should have in front of us?
Yes, that's exactly.
Some of us do, I bet. It's probably buried in here.
24-LS1740, /Y.
Okay, we're all on Y, we're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome.
For the record, my name is Jennifer Baxter, staff to Representative Jim Elkins. Today before you is the CS for House Bill 497, an act providing for the transfer of property at Clark Bay to the Inter-Island Ferry Authority and the transfer of land to the Hyder Board of Trade Incorporated. If enacted, this bill would authorize the Department of Natural Resources to transfer the ownership of certain property to the Inter-Island Ferry Authority for the operation of the Clark Bay Terminal on Prince of Wales Island. Passage of this bill will allow the IFA to construct a new terminal which will provide more efficient marine ferry service to the residents of Prince of Wales Island and Ketchikan and adjacent areas of southern southeast Alaska. This transfer of ownership implements the intent of the Memorandum of Agreement between the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and the Inter-Island Ferry Authority, signed July 28, 2000 and August 1, 2000, respectively. The CS for House Bill 497 includes authorization by the Commissioner of Natural Resources to transfer land to the Hyder Board of Trade Incorporated for use in support of their marine and economic development initiatives. The Ronan Corporation stands ready to work with the Hyder Board of Trade to acquire and develop the unoccupied tidelands between their waterfront property and the Hyder Causeway. This area is approximately the same size the Hyder Board of Trade seeks to have transferred with the approval of the Alaska State Legislature. And there's information included in the packets as to what they wish to do with that land. And if either the Inter-Island Ferry Authority or the Hyder Board of Trade Incorporated ceases to exist, the land shall revert back to the Department of Natural Resources. Thank you.
Thank you. Great job. Any questions from Ms. Baxter?
I might. I'm trying to find something. Okay. If you want to proceed, I might.
All right. We have, is there anybody here to testify?
John Pearson.
Okay, sir, if you'll come on up. And Jen, if you'll just be on the ready for
Thank
us.
You.
We also have Dick Miles and Bob Blasco, who's with the Inter Island Ferry, and Dick, of course, is with DNR, that are available to answer questions. If you'll come up, sir, we'd be delighted to have you. Representative Thomas, we're pleased to see you, as always, and we welcome you to join us, as would be appropriate.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, could I just make a suggestion to keep from making it confusing?
Yes.
Why don't we deal with Clark Bay first and then the Hyder Board of Trade issue? Because in the bill it talks about the Clark Bay properties first. And we don't want to get them.
So it's the transfer of the property to the Inter-Island Ferry Authority, and then a second transfer. So it's almost two transfers.
Two different entities. Yeah.
Okay. So you want to initially just address, for the benefit of the committee, the transfer from Clark Bay to the Inter-Island Ferry Authority.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Is that everybody's on board? Okay. Did we lose you?
I think they're online.
Bob Blasco is online to answer questions. So far, nobody's posed a question. How do we,
Is that DNR?
Dick Miles is online with DNR. Do you have a question for Dick?
Sure.
Dick, are you with us? Representative Ledoux has also joined us for the record. Pleasure to see you. Representative Thomas, you're certainly welcome to join us.
I just wanted to testify.
Okay. Dick, are you there?
Okay.
All right, we'll come back. back to Dick, Representative Seitz.
That complicated question I asked him, make sure he answers it when he...
Sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So does that mean that, I guess Representative Thomas wanted to testify? Is that...
You mind? Thank you, Chairman Rammers, and members of the committee. I'm Representative Thomas, District 5. I'm here to support CS HB 497. I have communities that are dependent upon the IFA transfer. We have a ferry system that runs down in the Prince of Wales Island, and the sponsor is actually representing the one portion of the community, I guess, that the terminal is in.
Yes, right.
So we do share Prince of Wales Island. And for the record, I represent Hyder, and I'd recommended to them that they, since this was a transfer of land, that they be put on this bill too. Also, there is no objection from what I see from DOT. They support this. I don't see anybody here from them for the Clark Bay Ferry Terminal transfer. So I'm just here to support this legislation, and if you have any questions, I'll answer them. And I thank you for bringing this up.
Thank you for your excellent presentation, Representative Thomas. First, Representative Gatto, and then Elkins.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm just referring to 3805027, and I'll tell you what it says. It deals with resource management or development agreements, and then I'll read A. Consistent with the authority of the commissioner under law, the commissioner, after determining that the agreement, and here's the key words, is in the best interest of the public. That sounds to me like we would require a best interest finding, and I would have to ask if we know whether that was ever done, or is this not subject to a best interest finding, which looks like that section would ask for it.
Bill sponsor, no. Representative Elkins, Ms. Baxter.
Well, actually, we're fulfilling a previous obligation or a commitment to the Inter Island Ferry Authority by transferring this land to them. Answer to your question, I don't know the answer to your question.
Was that agreement between
Representative Gatto?
Thank you. An agreement between the Inter Island Ferry and who?
State of Alaska.
DNR?
Gentlemen, let me just for the secretary.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
It's okay. We're all friends here.
Yeah, right.
It's my co-chair.
Indeed.
This is a ferry run that the state of Alaska didn't want to operate, and they turned it over to a private entity, and they rubbed mud all over the face of the Department of Transportation, and they surpassed every passenger and vehicle transporting them back and forth that they ever had from the Prince of Wales Island when the state was running it. They just smoked them, this private authority, because they got in the service business and provided service to the people on Prince of Wales. The communities in southeastern form, this Ketchikan Gateway Borough guaranteed the bonds for the first vessel when they went out and built the vessel, because it's very important to Ketchikan. And now the federal government has just built them a ship to service Wrangell and Petersburg. And at the present time, they don't have a ferry terminal, and this would fulfill that obligation. It was
Representative Elkins, can I interrupt you? We're going to take an at ease for a moment so we can take a hookup here. The record, can our off-nits hear us? Dick Miles, Bob Blasco, we're just checking in with you. Can you hear us? Gentlemen? Okay. Right, well, we're on the...
Could you hear Representative Ramos just a little bit?
Let's take an ease again for a second, please.
Okay.
Trust me, Jay.
We continue to have some audio problems with getting our off-nets in here, Dick Miles and Bob Lasco, but let's try and proceed with committee discussion on this issue and save our questions for... we've got a technical expert that's going to come in and work on the communication system. In the meantime, Representative Thomas, we appreciate your testimony. Sir, if you'd like to come up tell us, Representative Elkins, you were trying to divide the issue, but it sounds like we can approach this as a single issue, recognizing that there's two parts to this. And then, Representative Gatto, we can take up your question as soon as we get some assistance from Dick Miles over at DNR. And if anybody finds the distraction too great, we can take it at ease and proceed. If you'll provide us with your testimony, sir, we're glad to have you. Start with your name and who you're with. Who you're
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Pearson. I live here in Juneau. Retired from the Department of Commerce as a economic development specialist after many years. And I now am engaged as volunteer with the Hyder Board of Trade as their development specialist. And that kind of keeps me off the streets. The Board of Trade is a 501c6 organization, which has been organized and recognized by the state as well as the IRS. The purpose of the Board of Trade, which is a term that is often associated with chambers of commerce, is to spearhead and initiate economic activities within the community that will basically bring the community to a point of sustainability and be able to give and not just receive. Very quickly, Hyder is most eastern point in Alaska. It is a community of about 130 people. It's 164 miles by boat from Ketchikan to Hyder. And the primary access is onto the Cassiar Highway, which is about 2,000 feet from where the project is located. Our next-door neighbor is Stewart, British Columbia, community right now about 600 people. And Hyder and Stewart have been joined at the hip since the 1920s. And they sent, Hyder sent, I think it was the first president of the territorial legislature here as a representative of Hyder, and a fellow by the name of Joe Green. Hyder, as I said, is a unincorporated community, and we all know that incorporation is number one objective of our rural development efforts statewide. Doesn't matter where we're at. And but to do that, you need to have an economic base. The in my opinion, HB 497 provides Hyder very unique opportunity to get involved in a number of issues and opportunities that are going to be valuable to the state of Alaska, that are valuable to jobs in both Ketchikan as well as the local area. And to do that, marine infrastructure is critical. At the present time, the state of Alaska has a small island of about 1,700 feet. It sets out on a trestle into the Portland Canal, and the only thing that arrives there is float planes between Ketchikan and Hyder, as well as occasional fishing boat. The there was a photo that I believe is you have available there, and one of the first opportunities is the massive gravel deposits of the Salmon River. If you look on the left-hand side of that photo, that's the Salmon River, and on the right-hand side, that's the Bear River. The Salmon River gravel, there's probably 7.5 million cubic yards of new gravel that comes down that river. every year, to the point that it's now has, and it is plugging up the river, and the river sets about 9 feet above the community. DOT has tested that gravel, and they find it superior. They find it as good as anything that they're currently bringing in from the Puget Sound area. And, of course, the one thing that we know is that gravel, whether it's sold to DOT or it's sold to other projects, the Department of Natural Resources receives a royalty on that. $1.50 a cubic yard is the going rate. And so we see that with the project that we have, this puts a very significant injection into the treasury of the state of Alaska by way of DNR program receipts. Specific use of the project that we have, and that project is to secure two parcels of tideland. One is already surveyed, currently in use in the community, but what do we say, broken down or close to broken down. And the other is just unsurveyed tideland. There's one is about 0.4 of an acre. The other piece is 1.9 acres. Ronin Corporation, which Representative Elkins had mentioned, is a major holder of land in Hyder. They've been a very good corporate neighbor, and they, when I started to talk to them about this project, they says, "We'll step to the plate and provide an equal amount of land adjacent, so we can expand the project," which is good.
What was the name of that company? Mr. Chairman, what was the name of that company again?
Ronin Corporation, correct.
Thank you.
And they, through the chair, they are heavy into mining and construction, and built the majority of the Cassiar Highway. And the other thing is that the Board of Trade, about 4 years ago, one of the things we wanted to attract was the small cruise business. Representative Elkins' community, they get a lot of the small boats, and we thought, well, we'll see what we can do. And we were very successful. We now have the small EcoTour vessels calling in Hyder. Security requirements in all of our ports in the state are very stringent. And as the vessels would come in or do come in, we're then have to have somebody out there to make sure that nobody even comes near the vessel, and there's all kinds of things. Have a secure area. DOT has come along and said, well, you can't take and stop anybody from going down to that vessel because that's a state float. And but DOT has said that in view of the fact that the float is about to collapse, that they would be willing to work with us on the transfer, and we will assume responsibility for development of a new float in there, working with some of the partners. The other feature of the project is to put in a float that would allow barge traffic to come to Hyder, as well as the ferries. We're not pushing for ferry service, but it's an opportunity that we know will be recognized. Once that fresh fish hits Hyder, I can guarantee you it'll be delivered to the Chicago Fish Market in 52 hours at the lowest long-distance rates in the nation. It's a very attractive situation. It's an opportunity that has not been addressed. The other thing is that we feel that if we can secure these two parcels with the assistance of Ronan Corporation, we're going to be in a position to show that good rural development can take place through partnerships. And Ronan will be participating financially. The Denali Commission will be participating. We have several others that will be participating, and we feel very positive about the project. And we would really appreciate your help and support.
Thank you, Mr. Pearson. Are there questions? Mr. Pearson, Representative Elkins.
Yeah, doesn't the Ronan Corporation plan on moving some people in there to, do you have the number or anything, John?
through the chair, Representative Elkins, the Ronan right now, they're looking at roughly 100 new people coming into Hyder. Now we have 180 right now that, or 130 in there. An injection of 100 will be very significant. And at the same time, there are massive mining operations taking place in British Columbia. And this facility will be able to handle some of the raw material going out. The other attraction is that Hyder, and I'm sure other than Representative Elkins, most of you do not know, we all know about the Jones Act. Well, Hyder, Alaska is one of two communities in the nation that's exempt from the Jones Act. And that fact alone will be very significant in the movement of pipe to the gas line going using the Cassiar.
That's interesting.
And so along with Hyder, Haynes, and Skagway, all part of Representative Thomas's area, we're going to be some busy boys.
What's the, Mr. Pearson, what's the other community that's exempt from the job?
It's Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, really?
It's the only two. The reason that Hyder is exempt is that in the 1920s, the mining activity in Canada, in northern British Columbia, was very significant, also in Hyder. But there was no place for the ship arrivals on the Canadian side. So the fellows in D.C., they put an exemption in there that said the vessels from any port in the world would come and go out of Hyder, Alaska.
That's right.
And there's very few that know that. There was an effort about, I think, in 1998 to remove that exemption. And there was two or three of us that fought pretty heavy on that, and we saved it.
Fascinating. Representative Gatto, I'd bring to your attention the fiscal note, the analysis, the second paragraph says, due to the lack of exemptive language, DNR assumes that finding public review under the statute that you cited will be required. Other than a small but indeterminate amount of land value generated from the possible sale of small parcels, there's no anticipated significant fiscal impact associated with this proposed legislation. Division of Mine Landing Waters, existing staff will prepare the best interest finding and the public review and conveyance for these parcels. Does everybody have that? Other questions for Mr. Pearson, Representative Elkins?
He can verify, but I just have a comment, Mr. Chairman. When the head of the Ronan Corporation was in my office, he's very interested, and this is kind of exciting to me, and I think it should be to the whole state of Alaska. He sees the future of Hyder has to come about by being an incorporated community, and his goal is when he gets his employees in there to to convince him to facilitate that matter. So, you know, that's another plus, I think, for this community. And I DNR ought to be real excited about this because they got the possibility of getting about $10 million a year from the gravel that replenishes itself every year. And when you've got a corporation that's willing to donate to the state of Alaska or to the Hyder Corporation, which would revert back to the state of Alaska if anything goes wrong down there, an equal amount of land to make this possible, I think it's a win-win for everybody. And Heidelberg's a real interesting community, and I just want to give you a little story about them. They, a few years back, they decided to go in the water business, and so they drilled a well and hit real good water. And Stewart BC came over with their public works equipment and prepared the property, laid the water lines, and did everything with Canadian public works, set it up so they could get the waterworks going because it would help create jobs for the whole area, which, I mean, you know, they're neighbors. And I don't know if we still do, but for years we sent our kids to school and Stewart, and we paid them to teach U.S. history, one of the classes they had to teach over there. But anyway, I think it's a real exciting community. If you ever get a chance to go down, I think you got to go down and look at it. It's like a lot of the old-time Alaskan small communities, but there's great potential down there, and I think this is a win-win for everybody.
Excellent. Are there other questions? Mr. Pearson? Representative Gatto.
I have one for Representative Elkins.
Yes, sir.
Can you just tell me, I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this, uh-huh. And I'm saying we're going to transfer some land to something with a title of ferry. Is it for service as a ferry terminal? Is it just to make a causeway? Is it, I'm not sure what it's for.
Well, it's a, they would fill in a huge area there at landfill to, so that they could unload barges there, load barges, dock ships. Okay.
So it's to haul the gravel out of the gravel pit.
It's one of the things that
gets
one of the jobs. And it'd also be a way to get Canadian ore. They'd bring it down and ship it out of there if the possibility exists, which it doesn't today.
And if I can continue, I take it, is this the Cassier Highway on the left side of this? Right there where the gravel, I'm not sure, or is the Cassier Highway on the far right? Because I think what I see is what looks like more roads. Just looking at distances.
John, I have a better idea than that.
Chair, the Cassier Highway 37A starts right there above where it says border.
And border.
You see right in the middle?
Yeah.
Right in the middle. And
is that what this is? This is the border?
That's it. That's the international border
about that.
Between the United States and Canada. And as we go over the border, customs is there, and that's the beginning of Cassier 37A, and first-class operation. Through the chair, if I could just add one additional comment. What was the question? The first part of your question.
Is the transfer of land going to be for a ferry terminal, for a dock, for a... talks about the ferry, uses the word ferry in the title, and I said, inter-island. What is it? How does that change how does what we do change an existing procedure?
Through the chair, the inter-island ferry is not associated with this project. That's totally separate. However, the facilities we will build will be a multi-use so that we can handle resource barges, we can handle the AMHS, we can handle the IFA if it was necessary, and small cruise ships. The ferry issue is very important from the standpoint that in the event of a major homeland security event in the Puget Sound area, state of Alaska stands nowhere with access to a road, the nearest road. And that road is in Hyder. So as we build the facility, we will include all of the specifications and that in the transfer bridge so that they, with no problem, my friend Robin Taylor could move a vessel up there and unload and be taken, having access to the road system. That's a very significant part of the project. It's a multi-use, because right now our state ferry facilities, we cannot, they're not multi-use.
Just looked like a little thing here. Now we're getting into homeland security. This is kind of interesting.
That's correct.
And monstrous gravel resources.
Mm-hmm. Representative Gatto, are you concerned?
Sir, about little stones and big rocks.
I am also concerned about little stones right now. Are there other questions for Mr. Pearson? And our friend Representative Crawford has joined us. Nice to see you, sir. Are there other questions for Mr. Pearson? All right, we have our off-nets are intact. Dick Miles, are you with us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Pleasure to hear your voice. Dick is available to answer any questions. Representative Gatto, do you have any questions? Or
yeah. Dick, just DNR's position.
Representative Gatto, through the chair, I actually did have some remarks that deals with that, if you'd like me to read them.
Please do.
Okay, unfortunately, since I missed due to technical problems at the beginning of the hearing, hopefully I won't repeat anything that's said, but I just want to do a real quick summary of what the bill actually does from DNR's perspective, and then talk a little bit about the history of tidelands transfers, and then this one specifically. The bill requires that DNR would transfer four parcels at Clark Bay to the Inter Island Ferry Authority, and those are two upland parcels and two tideland parcels. One of those upland parcels and one of those tidelands parcels are currently surveyed parcels that are subject to a management agreement between DNR and DOT, and then DOT has a subsequent agreement with the Ferry Authority dealing with the or management of the facilities there. But I believe the facilities are actually still owned by DOT. At Hyder, it requires transfer of tidelands to the Hyder Board of Trade, although I believe there is some consideration of changing that from a transfer to a lease. In terms of the history of land transfers of tidelands out of state ownership, the legislature since statehood has been pretty reluctant to do this for two fundamental reasons. The state has a responsibility that's established in the Constitution as well as in common law to protect the public trust values of these tidelands, including the public's right to use them for navigation, access, and fishing. And the state has generally felt that keeping these lands in public ownership is the best way to protect those resources. And the legislature has also recognized that in coastal Alaska, these lands are critical for use, access to, and development of tidelands and are best protected in public ownership. The legislature has only allowed DNR to transfer ownership of tidelands to private individuals in the case of where they were actually used and occupied prior to statehood, and has limited the transfer to municipalities to lands that are slated for development, and even then with certain restrictions imposed on those transfers of tidelands that aren't included in this legislation. We believe that the objectives of the bill can be met without legislation, the objectives of getting the land into development through our existing leasing programs and not necessarily requiring the transfer of ownership. Specifically regarding the Hyder parcel, we feel that we could lease that parcel to the Hyder Board of Trade under our existing authorities, so we don't need any authority to do a lease. We actually oppose the transfer of tidelands to a group such as the Board of Trade because it is not a public entity. And as I said, the history of the state has been to keep those lands in public ownership. Regarding the Clark Bay parcel specifically, we also feel we could meet most of the needs of the authority there through a lease, and actually the undeveloped parcels could actually be sold to them currently under a combination of Alaska Statutes 3805.810 and 2935.722. If this bill does go forward regarding the Clark Bay lands, we would like the bill to clarify whether or not the legislature is just giving the commissioner the discretionary authority to transfer the land or requiring that we transfer the land. We'd also like to know if the intent is that we grant the land for free or charge fair market value. And We would like to see a requirement that DNR would include provisions to protect public access and public trust rights in any conveyance. And we've discussed these issues with Representative Elkins' staff. We'd be happy also to meet with the Inter Island Ferry Authority or Hyder Board of Trade to talk about what some of our options are under existing statutes. With that, I'm open to any questions.
Sounds like you've created some questions. Representative Kapsner and then Seaton.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Miles, through the chair. One of my questions is, it looks like the Salmon River is going to be clogged up unless some of that gravel is removed. So it seems like it would be in the state's best interest and in the user's best interest if they could take some of that gravel out.
Representative Kapsner, through the chair, gravel can be removed through, we actually sell gravel is where it's on state land. So if the gravel is actually on the tidelands, we could actually do it and sell that gravel for, if somebody wanted to remove it.
Okay. Are you doing that now?
Representative Kapsner, through the chair, I'm not aware of any existing gravel sales in that area. I mean, they're basically market-driven. Somebody has to come to us and say they want to purchase that.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Miles, I guess I have a question here on page 2, line 7. This transfer of this section shall revert to the Department of Natural Resources. That's if, you know, those other, if the Ferry Authority ceases to exist or operations cease to exist. So I'm trying to figure out whether this is really an ownership transfer anyway. I mean, if we have a condition on there that it's got to revert, then it doesn't this also mean that it can't be sold or transferred by them?
Representative Seaton, through the chair, the bill would actually require us to transfer it. It's not uncommon in land transfers to have a reversionary clause if we're conveying it for a specific purpose and it doesn't get used for that. One of our concerns specifically with this reversionary or this particular transfer is, though, it doesn't say they can't sell it. It just says that if they cease to exist, that it would be come back to, or that would revert to the state. But like I say, that doesn't prevent an interim transfer by them to some other party.
Thank you. Representative Ledoux?
Doesn't it say in on page 2, line 26, the land transferred under A of this section may not be transferred to another person?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, I believe that applies to the transfer to Hyder Board of Trade, but there is not a similar provision in the transfer to the Inter Island Ferry Authority portion.
Okay, thank you.
So, Dick, Jay Ramirez, my understanding then is that DNR opposes this bill as it's written without amendment. Is that correct?
Representative Ramirez, yes, that is correct.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Elkins?
I would entertain an amendment that would apply the same standard to the Clark Bay property as it does the Board of Trade property, you know, where the land can't be used as security for a loan or transferred to another person as a conceptual amendment.
And the Representative Elkins, the conceptual amendment would be inserted where?
Probably in line 26.
Yeah, line 26.
Page 2, page where two, the land transferred under A. And I guess we would have to say under A and see if B. Might want to ask Dick how that would.
Dick, let me ask you before we draft conceptual amendment number one, because I take it that we don't have a conceptual amendment that's being offered just right at this moment.
Yeah, just.
Dick, what other issues would need to be addressed in order to make DNR comfortable with this bill?
Representative Ramirez. For the Clark Bay lands, the things that we would like to see is, one, clarification as to whether or not the legislature is directing us to do the transfer or just giving us the authority, because if it's the the former, that the legislature is actually directing us to do it, then it would be similar to the university bill last year, where we don't actually have to do a best interest finding or public notice or anything. We would just essentially issue the deeds. And if it's the latter, then we do a best interest finding, public notice, and it's actually a discretionary decision. If for some reason it was determined not in the state's best interest, we wouldn't proceed with the transfer. So that would be item one. Actually, I guess that would apply to both parcels, that whether or not it's discretionary or mandatory for DNR. The second thing we'd want clarified is whether or not the intention is that we would sell the land at fair market value, or that we're giving the land away for free. And the third thing would be to have some provisions that protect public access and public trust values of the lands. And I think that would take care of the Clark Bay parcel. Regarding the Board of Trade parcel, I think any actual transfer of title to that parcel, I think we would oppose, because the Hyder Board of Trade is not a public entity. It's not a government entity. And it's been inconsistent. That would be inconsistent with essentially the state's policy over since statehood about how we dispose of our tidelands, or don't dispose of them in this case. We could, if that was changed to a lease, then there's no need for the legislation, because we can, through administrative procedures, issue a lease to the Board of Trade.
And this is Representative Seaton. I'm chairing the meeting now for a little bit. So that the lease provision for Hyder and the Clark's Bay, is that you're also saying that could be done by a lease as well?
Representative Seaton, yes. Either one of these we could actually issue a lease for under our existing authorities.
Okay, and I guess the question that people have is, has there not been requests for a lease of this, or has it been held up, or why are we having to go a statutory route here? I mean, has there been a problem with the department as far as getting this accomplished?
Representative Seaton, we've had no applications for a lease for either of these parcels submitted to DNR. We have had some very preliminary discussions with the Board of, actually, I guess with the Rowan Corporation regarding the parcel there, but it was just a kind of a preliminary discussion where they asked, you know, what are some of the options on state land. But like I said, there's no application, and we haven't said no to anything.
And do you anticipate that a lease process, your staff time and everything else, if a lease was made consistent with, lease application was made consistent with these parcels, what's the time frame that you think it would take to initiate that and to get it taken care of?
Representative Seaton, it can take a couple years to run through the whole leasing process. It kind of depends on, the first question is how complete the application is when we get it, and whether or not we need additional information. We do have to do a best interest finding and public notice, and then once that's done, the land actually needs to be surveyed and appraised, which is done at the applicant's expense and time, and those two items in particular can take a while. So it's a several-year process to get through the whole process to the point where you'd have an executed lease.
Okay, and I just have one other question here before we go to questions from the committee. The if the legislature directed, or would that be appropriate for the legislature to be able to make some findings or do anything to expedite that lease process, and what would that be?
Representative Seaton, in terms of findings or anything to expedite the process, I can't really think of anything specifically that that just findings or a legislative intent could do to expedite the process, particularly if it's a leasing, if we're going through our existing leasing process. Like I said, I really can't think of anything specifically. If it was going to be a sale, right now we couldn't do a sale. I mean, we can't sell the land to the Board of Trade right now under state law. And we, on the Inter Island Ferry Authority, we can't sell the improved parcels to them because of the existing statutes that are specific to the the ferry, municipal ferry authorities.
Okay, thank you. And I guess we do have a letter from November 3rd, 2005, addressing that as far as that you could enter agreement with them for operation, and then since the facilities are degraded, they could be rolled in or utilized, I guess. But let's go to Representative Elkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to point out to you, you transferred all the harbors, or in the process of transferring all the harbors in the state of Alaska to the municipalities without a finding, and so I don't think that holds very much water. And the intent of this legislation is to mandate the transfer of this land, not the bureaucratic discretion that could take the rest of my lifetime, which I don't care to wait for. I've never known a public agency to move as fast as you're interpreting, as you're implying that it can. So, if I was the people in Hyder or the corporation down there that's willing to donate land to make this facility work, I wouldn't be interested in leasing from you.
Were there other questions of Mr. Milius from the committee? Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Dick, just on page 1, line 7, it does use the word authorized. Now, that only says for the land described in B. But you told us that authorized simply is permissive, not required. So you did address that question of asking us to determine what we meant. Is this language on line 7 insufficient to determine that?
Representative Gall, through the chair, we think that when you say authorized, it usually means that it is discretionary. But if you, the following line there, it says the following land is to be transferred, does not sound discretionary. So we think it's, in that case, it's saying that we shall do it. It sounds like the sponsor's intent is that we would do it without going through the process, and we just want that clarified so we don't get into some sort of legal argument, whether it be with between us and the applicant or between us and the public at some point in the future. So it's useful to eliminate those inconsistencies and be real specific about what the intent is, so we aren't quibbling about it a year down the road or something.
Sure. Representative Gatto?
And so it would probably be your wish that the language on line 9, instead of is to be replaced with may be transferred under, well, I don't know what we would add to it, but since 7 is authorized and 9 would say allowed to be or may be or what, would that satisfy DNR's understanding of the intent?
Representative Gatto, through the chair, yes, some sort of language like that would clarify the intent on that issue.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Kapsner.
Likewise, we could have it shall language, which I think is more the intent of the sponsor.
Right, and so you're talking, Representative Kapsner, the other way of doing it is on line 7, change is authorized to shall transfer. And so we'll look at those as we go forward here. Are there any other questions for Mr. Milius? I guess would you go through one more time that there really isn't, we'd be creating statutory authority to transfer land to a non-public entity. Which one was that? Was that Hyder?
Corporation.
Is that
the Board of Trades?
The Board of Trade.
Yes, Representative Seaton, that is correct. The Board of Trade is the one that we have a fundamental concern about transferring ownership to.
Okay. And we're trying to figure out how. Is there any expedited process within the purview of DNR that's available at all, or is it just a two-year lease option or negotiations and lease, or just the bill that says you will transfer to a entity?
Representative Seaton, to the chair, I guess I'm there's a large backlog, actually, of existing lease applications and such that DNR has, although that actually we don't have quite so significant of a backlog in our Southeast Regional Office. So one, the legislature could state an intent that these two leases would be a higher priority, that we could try to expedite them. That could move them to the, I guess we could move them to the front of the line under something like that, although there's going to be other applicants, including folks that are looking for log transfer sites and other such things who wouldn't be real, may not be real happy with that. But the actual process, it's hard to speed up too much because we've got mandatory public notice requirements, we've got statute appeal periods, and then just the survey and appraisal process on these parcels does take some time. And that's actually the most time-consuming aspects of these is those two things, and those are largely done by private sector. And there's a lot of demand for both surveys and appraisals right now, so there's a limit as to how much you could actually speed it up considering those things.
Sure, and did the university land transfers, have those all taken place, or are those still in process?
Representative Seaton, those are still in process. We actually, in that legislation, the agreement was that we would actually go out for an RFP for somebody to do actual drafting of the deeds and the title work, and we're just getting the RFP out on the streets now to do that. And that was envisioned to be about a three-year process. The legislation said that we had 3 years to do that transfer.
Okay, thank you. Representative Gatto?
Thanks. One more question. You mentioned survey and appraisal. Wouldn't that have to be done, whether it's under the shall requirement or under the permissive requirement, if a lease were authorized?
Representative Gatto, through the chair, the survey would be a requirement in either case, whether it's our process or not. The appraisal one is a question of, like I said, the bill is silent right now as to whether or not write grants or if they would be sales at fair market value. So, all right, grant, there's no appraisal. If it's a sale, then obviously there's an appraisal.
Representative Gatto?
And you mentioned something about, and I'm really concerned, whether we will run afoul of other statutes. Would this transfer violate some other statute and then bring everything to a standstill until it were resolved?
The Representative Gatto, through the chair, I don't think there's any statutory problems we'd run into related to the transfer to the ferry authority. With the one issue that is a little bit out there is that DNR doesn't have the authority to transfer the improvements on the land, so that and the current statute dealing with port authorities doesn't allow the state, either us or DOT, to transfer those facilities without legislative approval. So that's the only potential hang up on the Inter Island Ferry Authority. On the Hyder Board of Trade, I think it's not so much a foul of statutes, but there's actual potential constitutional issues related to the public trust requirements that we have, which I guess are articulated in some of our statutes, like requiring public access and such.
Okay, I wanted to follow up on one of those things about the Clark's Bay, and that is the November 3, 2005 letter to Thomas Brigg from Malcolm Menzies that says, "We do not have the authority to convey improvements. However, given the removal and disposition of the existing terminal building is necessary to upgrade the facility, whatever actions IFA deems necessary to accomplish those are within the management authority previously granted." Does that mean that we really don't have, as long as they're demolishing or removing those facilities, does that structural problem go away?
Representative Seaton, it sounds like that's DOT's interpretation. I had not seen that letter previously, but that is, DOT currently has a management agreement that the legislature has blessed with the Port Authority, so I presume that's within DOT's authority to make that call.
Okay, and yeah, that is from DOT PF Southeast Region. So let's see. We have several issues. One is leases. Is there a leases at fair market value on something like these areas, is that basically, is that mandated in the statute now that that be at fair market value? And how would you do that on something like the Hyder, where it's going to be filled? I mean, would that be leased as bare land as it exists now? And if a large dock and all that was built on there, you know, that wouldn't be included in the costs, would it?
Representative Seaton, at Clark Bay, we actually have the authority to do a less than fair market value lease because they're actually a public agency. So under in that case, if they applied, and it appears that they would qualify for a less than fair market value. So in that case, the appraisal wouldn't actually be an issue. On the Hyder parcel, it would be appraised as undeveloped raw tidelands. So it'd be appraised as it currently is.
Okay, and the question of that wouldn't be for removal of materials. That would be the area that would be some of it would be potentially filled and put as a dock, and then the materials, the gravel out of the Salmon River, that's covered under existing lease or sale of material. Wouldn't need to be addressed here at all. Is that correct?
Representative Seaton, yes, that is correct. That would be, assuming that it's on the state-owned gravel, then it's a state sale. If it's actually not state lands, then I'm depending on who the owner is as to the procedures. But regardless, it would not need to be part of this legislation.
Okay, great. Representative Elkins, did you have a question?
Well, more of a comment. Just so you know, I think you've given me every reason under the sun why we don't want to get involved with the lease, why I don't want to get involved with the lease, and I'm sure the people down there at Hyder don't. It would seem to me that you ought to get off of your thumbs and quit sitting on your thumbs and get behind this project so you could start getting some income off of that gravel. You could generate up to $10 million a year. Instead of the way it's going, you're sitting on your hands and trying to impede this development down there. And sometimes it's no wonder people shy away from wanting to do business with the state of Alaska.
Well, Representative Elkins, one thing about it is that apparently there has been no application for a lease or anything from these projects. So I don't want to just put it on the department. But
I do.
Yeah, and that's fine. I just want to make it clear that, we do have process there. So, Representative Elkins, can you either the sale or the lease of the, either way that would go at Hyder, was your intention to have that at fair market value for those undeveloped lands, or was your intention to have that a no-cost grant?
My intent was to transfer these lands to the entities without transfer, without discretion, and tomorrow's not soon enough.
Okay. And
no cost?
No cost.
Mr. Chairman?
That's no cost. Okay. And Representative Elkins, I understood that you were amenable to having that section on page 2B, the land transferred can't be sold or can't be transferred to anyone else. Apply for both of these conditions?
Absolutely. Okay. And the other thing, Mr. Chairman, is my understanding that the federal government, through the Homeland Security, has recognized the Board of Trade as a legal entity down there to do business with. So I don't know why the state can't. It just seems to me that even the State Department of Transportation has recognized them to some degree. So I think that's a pretty weak call that DNR is taken.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Ramos just returned, and so turn the gavel back over to you, but I will let you know where we've got.
Mr. Chairman, what we do?
I think I could summarize that there's definitely a difference in opinion between the department and the bill sponsor, and that they could lease at less than fair market value, the Clark's Bay In other words, and then they wouldn't have to do any survey or value determination of the Clark Bay portions, because that's going to a public entity. They see a constitutional problem with a transfer of the land to Hyder, because it's not a public entity as they define it right now. Now, I don't know if that there's any way of getting around that. The sponsor's intent was to have these at no cost or at minimal cost in both instances, and the sponsor is willing to have the restriction on a title that it couldn't be transferred to anybody else and would revert to the state either set of parcels. And I believe that's where we got Representative Elkins.
Well, to say, one reason I think about the transfer is because you got the private corporation owner that's willing to match that land, the donation, and if anything ever did go back, would go wrong down there, the land that they've donated would end up in state hands, wouldn't go back to them, and I, you know, so it's something is being paid if you look at it from that standpoint.
Well, we can work on this till 3 o'clock today, and then what I'm excited about, John, is that right, Mr. Pearson, is the fact that we got a remote community of 130 people that can add 100 jobs and enhance quality of life for a lot of people and create economic activity. And so I'm always going to side on that side of the equation. But we can work on this for 20 more minutes, and then at 3 o'clock, we're scheduled to meet tomorrow. We have a scheduled meeting tomorrow, is that right, on 498. So what I'd like to do is to work on this through committee for the next 20 minutes. And Dick, with all due respect, I'm with Representative Elkins on this one, and we need to work it out. So we can do that in committee for 20 minutes, and then at such time we will adjourn for the day. And Representative Elkins, we will encourage you to continue to work with your staff with land, mining, and water, or mine, lands, and water, and work on this so that we can approach it expeditiously tomorrow, so that we leave plenty of a window of time so that we can include Chairman Samuel's work on the heavy oil bill. If that's acceptable to you, then we will.
Acceptable.
Then we will we'll proceed through some committee work on the record on this bill now, and then take it up in that manner. I think, are there any amendments that have been offered, or are we still just kind of fleshing out the problem?
Still fleshing them out.
Okay. It appears to me, Dick, that there's a reasonable consensus around the table, just for making eye contact here, try and work through this for the benefit of the Hyder community, and to stay within the constitutional bounds necessary to do that. So, as you have comments, Dick, we would appreciate it very much if you would speak up on that point. And then, having not been here for the last half hour, and I thank the committee for that, where it was at a hearing up in Senate CNRA on an item that was chaired by Senator Stedman's district, is that right?
District A.
Okay. With that, what's the approach that we need to take in the form of amendments in order to modify this so that we stay within the constitutional bounds of land, mining, and water? And still can proceed with this.
Mr. Chairman, I think that, first of all, I think we should break these into two sections that are very, and make sure that we list them as severable.
Okay.
Because the only constitutional problem appears to be with Hyder.
Okay.
So I would make that suggestion first, and then I would also like to just note, although Representative Elkins was saying that the land from the Rowan Corporation would revert to the state if something happened, that's not contained in the bill. At least that I don't see that contained in the bill, Representative Elkins. So it says that this land would revert to the state, but it doesn't say anything about the other land any other land that the Hydra Board of Trade would have. So if that's the intent of the sponsor, and if you have agreement from that corporation for that reversion, then that would be another provision that would have to be made separately at that point.
Okay. Representative Elkins?
I'll hope to have something in writing from the corporation by tomorrow's meeting.
Okay. Representative Gatto?
I don't know that the committee can overrule constitutional issues, in particular access.
We're going to try damn hard.
But, well, access is in the Constitution. If you have a way around that, I'm dying to hear it.
What can you?
Well, transferring state property that isn't for the benefit of the public.
Okay.
And guaranteeing access. If indeed we remove access by saying, hey, they're going to have borders around this land that we're giving them. Personally, I thought this lease arrangement had some merit.
Okay, Dick, are you there? What do you think about a lease? Is that the most expeditious way to try and address this?
Representative Ramirez, we can do a lease under existing authority, so we don't need the law to do that. So that's why we prefer the lease. And that does give us the ability to deal with public access concerns and ensure that public trust responsibilities are concerned. And in the case of the Clark Bay lands, we could do a lease that is less than fair market value because it's a public purpose and public organization. For the higher lands, it would have to be at fair market value, which I know Representative Elkins is concerned about. But like I say, we don't even need the legislation to pursue the lease option. We've received no applications, though, from either entity for a lease.
Representative Seaton?
Yes, and just to let you know, the previous discussions were that we could probably have a letter of intent and ask for these leases to be bumped up on the priority list, so move to the head of the priority list to get them done faster than the normal process. We also heard that the if they would have to be surveyed for fair market value, it would be a, you know, it could be a longer, much longer process, like the university lands, which are still in that. But at least the Clark's Point or the Clark's Bay, those issues might, Inter Island Ferry Authority might be more expeditiously handled by lease.
John, if you could approach for a second, just weigh in. When does the Ronan Company want to come in with a workforce of 100, increase the vitality of the community of Hyder?
Representative Ramos, the first folks will be on site next month, and they will, but they would not be focusing on this particular. They've got other things they need to do.
Is time of the essence?
What we would like to do is in 2008, summer of 2008, be in a position to start doing construction.
Okay, Representative Gatto?
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. Could we have legislation directing the commissioner, or is that just a resolution directing the commissioner to enter into lease agreements and naming these groups rather than? Dick, I'm not sure if that's an efficient way to do it.
Dick, you heard Representative Gatto's question, and it sounds like that's what you're saying also, is that the DNR doesn't necessarily need legislation because of existing authority through the department. Is that right?
Yeah, Representative Ramos and Gatto, that is correct. We have existing authority to lease to both of these entities, and they just need to apply.
Okay, Representative Gatto has a follow-up.
And as Representative Elkins addressed, he wants you to get off your thumbs. If indeed we leave it and walk out of here with no arrangement, leaving you with the ability to do it, we would really be more interested in directing you to enter into talks. Do we need to do that with a letter, a statute, or is the message pretty clear?
Representative Gatto, the message is clear to us, but our process is applicant-driven. We can't do anything, really, without somebody coming to us and saying, this is the land we want, this is exactly what we want to do, and it takes some upfront commitment on their part to figure figure out exactly what it is they want to do with the land. It's in the case of a lease, for example, at Hyder, we would need to have a specific development plan that says, you know, we're going to put these kind of docks here and this kind of, we have to have some idea of what it is they're actually proposing to do on the state lands before we can move forward. And to this point, we've received nothing from them along those lines.
Thank you, Dick. Representative Gatto?
Yeah, Dick, we have things like that right here in front of us where they actually have what looks like a management plan on what to do. My guess is, more curious than anything else, if you were presented with an application, would it revert to the bottom of the pile in all fairness to everybody above it, or how do we motivate DNR to say, you know, we almost did this without you and in all deference to the commissioner, but we'd like you to address this question ASAP. How would you respond when the lease application arrived?
Representative Gatto, through the chair, it's a little hard to answer that just off the top of my head. I mean, our normal process is to try to do first in, first out, but there are exceptions we make to that when there's a project that's clearly got, you know, a lot of impetus behind it and has, I mean, we get applications for some things that are pipe dreams and some things that are, you know, people have, you know, somebody with a checkbook waiting to pay to build it. So even though we have a general policy of first in, first out, the guy with the checkbook usually gets moved to the front of the line. So I'm not sure if we need a intent. I mean, this discussion is could suffice to move, would suffice to move it, you know, up farther up the list. Whether or not it's the top list, I can't say. We've got some high priority projects for example, for Forest Service timber sales and stuff that I, you know, I'm not sure if this would bump ahead of that, but could be moved to near the top of the list, certainly. And like I said, I think our list in Southeast is that we don't have a significant backlog in Southeast right now.
Representative Seaton.
And Mr. Malleus, would we have to indicate to you that we wanted Clark's Bay or the Inner Island Ferry stuff to be done at less than fair market value, or is that what you would normally do on this ferry land that's being used for the ferry anyway?
Representative Seaton, right now it looks like that's what we do anyhow because they qualify under the statute. So,
okay, and I guess the only other question, if I can follow up, is if Hyder became a Title 29 Class 2 city or some other thing, would you then be able to work in the same way with Hyder?
It'd be a different statute, but yes, the answer to that is yes. There's the statute for municipalities is 3805825, which is conveyance of tidelands to municipalities.
Okay, and one follow-up. And is the access provision here mainly on the uplands or on the tidelands? Or is it any land?
Representative Seat to the chair, it's mostly on the, it's entirely on the tidelands because that's what we own. So it'd be to ensure that the public has access along and to the tidelands and for navigation and such. And just one correction on the previous question about if Hyder became a community, we could actually transfer title to them. Under current authority, we can only lease the developed lands at the ferry terminal to the ferry authority. But in the case of if Hyder actually incorporated, we could actually convey title to the municipality under that law.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Elkins, does this give you enough guidelines of where the committee's at and where DNR is at and where the Alaska State Constitution is at so that you can try and craft something for us by tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Okay, so with that, I think we will adjourn for today. We will reconvene tomorrow at 1:30 and try to be expeditious with our time because that heavy oil bill is...
It's 1:30.
It says 1:30 right here. Is it 1:30? Is that correct?
I'm just teasing.
Tomorrow? You mean tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow, Thursday, 27th of April, 1:30. Okay. Mr. Pearson, we'd like to thank you for your testimony, and for those of us that have visited Hyder, mm-hmm. You painted a picture of a dynamic, a small community, and your words were helpful in giving the committee direction and to add vitality to your community.
Hyder tries very hard.
But
I always remember that when the troop transport going across the Atlantic, there was a sign there that says jet planes have passed the speed of sound, but not the speed of gossip.
Representative Seaton?
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, I guess my worry is that if we proceed on something that is obviously constitutional problem, that would actually slow down the process of actually getting it done. So I think myself and other members of the committee want to expedite this as quick as possible, and so I'd like to work with Representative Elkins on that.
Okay, with that, we are adjourned. It's 10 to 3.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.